The Sundance Film Festival kicks off each calendar year with a host of screenings and events that has established this wintry festival as one of the most important influencers of cinema tastes and programming for the year ahead. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Robert Saucedo is the programming director for the Alamo Drafthouse Cinemas in El Paso, Lubbock, and Houston, and just returned from the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, and I'm happy to have him back in the studio today. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, I'm glad I could catch you. You're in and out of town briefly. I know you come out here to check on this Alamo Drafthouse and do a little work, but I'm happy. I saw you were just in Sundance, so I thought, why not? We should hear firsthand what it was like up there. This is, I think for the general public, you know, we're still in 2017 award season. Every week the news, most of the film news is about what's getting awards and it's all leading up to the Oscars. But for the industry, this is the beginning of the 2018 movie season and people are out there looking at a lot of independent films trying to figure out what's going to catch on, what they need to put some money behind. And you're there, of course, as a programmer. Tell us a little bit about what just the setup is and what it's like to be in Park City when all of these people come together, both cinephiles, but also a lot of industry folks.
Sure. So it's very much a gathering of people who love movies for various reasons, as you mentioned. There are a lot of people who come to Sundance just as tourists who want to see great movies. And, you know, they're amazing. But you also have a lot of people like myself who are either working for exhibitors or distribution companies that are looking for potentially the next Call Me By Your Name or the next Moonlight. And so you come to these festivals looking for a surprise. And it's just this amazing sense of discovery. These are movies that there's almost absolutely no buzz. 99% of the films have never played anywhere else before.
Right.
And so you're able to discover these new voices, this new talent, these new experiences that hopefully you can then go out and share with the world. It's an exciting responsibility, but it's one that I've grown to love in my couple of years going to Sundance.
And the timing makes perfect sense, the beginning of the year for the film industry. But from a weather point of view, it is Park City, Utah. You're at altitude, snow. It's a really interesting that so many people go there in such difficult situation. You're standing outside in the snow for many hours, right, to get into these screenings?
Yeah. I you know, the first year I went, I was pretty miserable. But then this sense of understanding came to me. I realized this is the price we pay.
That's right.
We're able to watch these amazing movies early. I can put up with a couple of hours standing in the snow to do that.
The sacrifice makes the glory even better, right?
Exactly.
So you've watched a lot of films. How many films did you see this year?
I saw 25 films in 6 days.
Oh, okay. That's a little over four average per day.
Sure.
That's a lot of films for most people, particularly with all the standing around. Why don't you walk us through some of the standouts for you? These are films that maybe we'll catch on later in the year and we'll all be thinking we heard it here first.
Yeah, hopefully all of these come to the Draft House in El Paso. But, you know, the few movies that have really stuck with me and really stood out, there's one called The Kindergarten Teacher that stars Maggie Gyllenhaal. She plays a kindergarten teacher who takes this really loving interest in one of her students when she discovers that he is a prodigy in poetry. He's composing poems that, you know, are just outstanding. But this being a film, it has to have an arc. And Maggie Gyllenhaal's obsession with this kid starts to become unhealthy. And it turns into this amazing cringe comedy that you can't help but stare at, even though you want to turn away and get as far away from these situations as possible. There was a couple of amazing films that dealt with race this year. The first one is Blindspotting, which stars David Diggs from the original Broadway cast of Hamilton. He plays a young man who's growing up in Oakland, and he's just been released from prison and is trying to reinvent his life and stay on the right side of the law. But it's dealing a lot with responsibilities, commitments to your people, your community, and to your friends. Really fascinating, funny, kinetic film that I can't wait for audiences to see. The other really amazing film that dealt with race this year was a movie called Sorry to Bother You. It's about this young black man who discovers he can have a lot of success in the telemarketing industry by putting on a voice similar to a white person's. And it's this absurd magic realism comedy that reminded me a lot of Repo Man, the 80s Emilio Estevez film. And it just goes in some really dark, unexpected places. Armie Hammer, who's just coming off of Call Me By Your Name, has this outstanding performance as the head of the telemarketing agency, who is addicted to many, many drugs, but also has some just fantastic, crazy schemes that would not be in place in a comic book supervillain's Rolodex. It's just a fascinating film that I can't wait for audiences to discover.
I know you're an aficionado of horror films, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of buzz around a particular horror film that was at Sundance. Did you get to see that?
Yes, Hereditary premiered. That's the new film from A24. Mm-hmm. They, of course, have released horror films in the past, like The Witch and It Comes Tonight. And one of the criticisms that have been lobbed against these films is that, oh, they're not really horror. They have this amazing premise, this great atmosphere, but they maybe didn't deliver the scares in a way that mainstream audiences were looking for. Well, I can happily say that that is not the case with Hereditary. Not only is it a well-shot, beautifully constructed film, but it is really, really, really scary. The film deals with a family who discovers a hidden secret in their past after the grandmother of the family dies, and it has reverberations that affect the children in the family. You know, I will say this. Try to avoid the hype. I know I'm here on the radio hyping it, but just do yourself a favor.
Go in cold.
Try to go in knowing as little as possible of the movie. The film has so many amazing surprises, and I really can't wait for audiences to discover it when it's released in theaters this summer.
One of the great things about what you do, a lot of the national theater chains, who knows where the programming for El Paso is coming from. There's some mm-hmm. corporate office somewhere, and they're plugging in the big Hollywood films. But the Alamo is really tries to mix up the big mainstream releases with a lot of these kinds of films. And I guess you're more like a curator. And mm-hmm. so you're going to these festivals, and you're really thinking about not only quality, but also what might fit a particular market. Having programmed for El Paso and Lubbock and Houston, are there certain films you look at and you say, okay, this would be perfect in Houston, they would really go for this, or there's a type of film that would really El Pasoans would respond to, or are the three markets pretty similar?
No, every market has their own, likes and dislikes, and when I'm looking at a film, I definitely can tell, oh, well, this is a movie that I know it's going to play well in Houston, or I know El Paso audiences are going to eat this up. But then the challenge becomes, when I see a movie that I feel like everybody has to see,
right.
The challenge becomes, well, how do I sell that to this market? How do I sell this movie to the people of El Paso? What can I promote that they'll connect with and be interested in watching this film? How can I get this film in front of people in Lubbock? What are they going to respond to? And how can I do my job to get people's eyes on this movie? The other thing about it, being able to see these movies early allows us to come up with some great activations, some great promotions. Like, so the movie I was just talking about, Hereditary, the moment I watched that, immediately after walking out of the theater, I started looking on Google to try to find places that can come in and do seances in our bar opening weekend of that film. Those are just some of the things that
just
you can...
value-added components.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's great to be able to find these movies and to be able to connect them with the audience. The other thing that we've been doing at the Alamo Drafthouse is Film Club, which is a weekly series we do every Wednesday.
Sure.
It allows us to bring in some of these smaller films that maybe we can't play in El Paso for a full run, five shows a day for 7 days, 14 days. But if we can do like one show as part of our Film Club screening, it's a great way to bring amazing movies to our audiences that they wouldn't otherwise be able to have a chance to see on the big screen.
And that's going well. You're building kind of a connoisseur network there supports it.
We just had a sold-out show this past Wednesday night of Bird Boy, which is this fantastic Spanish animated film. The fact that we can have a sold-out audience watching a challenging movie that isn't, your traditional Hollywood blockbuster really fills me with a lot of hope on how many great films that we can bring to El Paso that maybe otherwise would never have played here before we were able to establish that the market exists.
I think Call Me By Your Name is another one of those titles that I believe you're showing this week mm-hmm. Off and on at the theater, and was my number two film of the year. It's just a beautiful, beautiful Italian film in English, mostly English, mm-hmm. But has picked up quite a bit of buzz. But it's not the typical foreign European film that would normally come to El Paso, if at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to see titles like that making their way in here. A lot of the screenings that you go to are designed for industry versus general public. I know there's kind of two threads at the Sundance Film Festival. We both love watching movies with an audience because you pick up how how people are responding to a film. Is it different when you are in a room full of industry people and watching a film?
It definitely is. So I was able to see one public screening this year, and that was actually Hereditary, which is the best way to watch a movie like that in a room full of people who are jumping to the scares. But, you know, all the industry screenings I went to, they're full of people who are on their cell phone making deals while the movie's playing, or, you know, as soon as, like, they get to the point 15 minutes into the film where they realize that this isn't a movie for me, they'll just get up and leave. And it's understandable. I mean, these are people who are doing their job. It's
they're
their
there
work.
Working.
And so if they need to take off, they need to take off. But it does tend to prevent you from being able to be sucked into the film when you're watching everybody around you working. It's hard to really truly lose yourself in the movie.
Right, right. It is a lot about the industry. The backside of it is about the business. And Sundance is one of those festivals where you often hear of the initial deals being cut, where, as you say, a lot of distributors are seeing these films for the first time. It's a marketplace, basically. And then late at night, people are sitting down and working out deals on the back of napkins and turning them into contracts and buying and selling films. This year, the reporting is that, you know, it was a little, the business side of the festival was a bit tepid. Did you have a sense of that when you were there, that there were not any, a lot of big deals being made at Sundance?
Sure, of course. The entire festival, you know, I'm keeping an eye on websites like Deadline and IndieWire to keep track of the distribution deals that are being made.
Because ultimately, these are films that will be distributed that you can program.
Exactly. And I want to know.
So you want them to get picked up by somebody.
Exactly. I want to know which ones are being bought by the distributors I have the best relationship with. But, you know, there was a sense of hesitation. It took a long time into the festival before any real big deals were being made. And when the festival's said and done, it didn't look like Amazon or Netflix, who had traditionally been big players in Sundance in the years past, bought many of any films out of Sundance. And it's really surprising. But at the same time, when you looked at some of the biggest deals that happened last year and how little impact those films had in the box office, you can kind of understand.
There's a pulling back.
Exactly. And Fox Searchlight, who has also previously been one of the big players, you know, I'm sure there's a hesitation on their part because they don't know how the impending Disney merger is going to affect their side of the business. What came is that smaller studios like Neon and A24 and
Annapurna
had a chance to step in and buy these films. And so I think we're still going to see these movies, but they're just going to be released by smaller and, if I'm going to be personal here, more interesting distributors.
Well, hopefully all coming to a theater near us soon.
Exactly.
Including the Alamo Drafthouse. Always great to talk to you, Robert, about film. Welcome back from Sundance and happy trails.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Robert Saucedo, Programming Director for the Alamo Drafthouse Cinemas in El Paso, Lubbock, and Houston. We've been discussing his recent trip to the Sundance Film Festival and some of the noteworthy films and filmmakers to be on the lookout for in the coming year. To keep tabs on upcoming special screenings and art house titles coming to Alamo Drafthouse, log on to drafthouse.com/El Paso. A final program note, my own monthly film series, The Film Salon, will be screening the 1946 film noir melodrama Mildred Pierce tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. Tickets are just $3. For a calendar of upcoming screenings, log on to filmsalon.org. On Film's producer is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.